Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, we have Patrick Miranda. Patrick is an author, spiritual teacher, and psychologist from Sydney, Australia, with over 20 years of experience. His spiritual teachings revolve around bridging the gap between spirituality and psychology, using his studies in Zen Buddhism, Taoism, non-dualism, New Age philosophies, and modern psychology, and focusing on living from a state of truth. He had his first awakening experience at the age of 28, and many of his teachings come from his own experiences with truth. His book, Waking Up to Yourself, A Guide to Living Your Truth, can be pre-booked now. Patrick, I just want to welcome you to the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Lovely. Brilliant. So, Patrick, you've written your amazing book that we will get to, yeah, which is
Yes,
just,
yes.
I love the title. It's so apt for our show. But,
yes, thank you.
Patrick, I truly believe that humanity is going through a great awakening, you know, at this
Yes.
time. What does this mean to you, and what does this mean for us all?
Well, I think it really means that we're all connecting to our inner truths, and the more we connect to our inner truths, we connect to our point of peace and our point of well-being. And I think sometimes seeing the pains of the world can remind us of how bad we feel, and that can actually be an inspiration to motivate us towards feeling better and actually towards looking for internally and looking within. So I think it's a great time for, even if it looks like sometimes the world is bad, I think it's also a useful opportunity to look within to create the change that you want to be in the world.
That's so true, because the contrast, you know, there is darkness out there, isn't there? But that
Yeah,
darkness
completely.
forces us, and it's like we are a mirror of that darkness. So it's forcing us to look within our darkness and to see the world, and the contrast forces us to change. It brings us to the precipice, doesn't it? It's like we can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
We have to change, you know, and we have to start knowing who
That's
we
right.
are.
Yeah, that's right. But we've also got a choice as well. Like, it can take us to the precipices, and we can either decide to move in the direction towards the light, or we can still continue to go towards the dark. We do have a choice there. It's just the pains trying to motivate us, or the desire to not have pains trying to motivate us to move closer to the light.
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Yes. And please, I want to know all about your awakening that happened when
My
you were
awakening.
28 years old. So yeah, just
Yes.
tell us all
So
about your.
yeah. So when I was 28, I actually was on a bus, on a train, sorry, on a train from Rome to Milan, and I had a book, an awakening, a book about awakening, and I was sort of just sitting there. I had cut my bread roll and was just eating it, and then I said, "All right, I'll get my book out," because I think it was about a 5-hour trip. And I just started reading the book, and it was saying things like, you know, you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions, you're not your history, you're not your past, you're the awareness of these things. And just as I was doing that, like, all things just started dropping in my head. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. And I just sort of jump back, not even jump back in myself, become like a witness of myself. And so I became the consciousness, or my true self, noticing me in the train. And from there, that I felt a pain in my knee, and then it was like, it wasn't my pain, it was just me being aware of the pain. And so I sort of became a nothingness in a sense. And so I was just noticing what was going on around me, and just noticing the workings of my mind and the emotions, and all this on a train traveling to Milan. So it was, yeah, it was amazing and sort of a bit confusing at the same time.
Yeah, because that is so true.
Yeah.
We are the observer. We are not our thoughts or our ego or our feelings. We are the soul
That's right.
consciousness, the observer that looks out, you know, and we can use the ego, you know, as a tool. We can use our
That's
thoughts and we
exactly
can
right.
use our feelings, can't we?
Completely. Yeah, completely. And that's why I wrote the book Waking Up to Yourself, so that we can actually know how to use the ego as a tool to help us function as our true self. That's literally what I wrote it for.
That's brilliant. Have you got a copy of that book?
I do. It's just here.
Yeah. I love the title. I think it's absolutely
Thank you.
brilliant. Waking Up to Yourself, A Guide for Living Your Truth.
Yes,
Now,
I'm really excited by it.
how did you come by that title? That's the
Well,
first one.
well, it was twofold. Well, one thing my parents would always say to me growing up, but not just to me, but it's an Australian saying, is whenever you do something that's sort of not right or you should know better, they say, wake up to yourself. So that was what I sort of got a lot growing up. And I was writing the book and I couldn't really decide on a name. And then I said, I did something to my with my parents. I can't even remember what I did. I said something silly to them, obviously. And they said, wake up to yourself. And I was like, oh, perfect. There's the book name.
That's
So,
brilliant. I love that. And please describe what waking you up to yourself, the guide to living your truth is all about.
yeah, no problem. So just to go back a bit second, is that I changed it from wake up to yourself to waking up to yourself, because waking up to yourself is a process. And so some of us will just wake up like that, and some of us will require a process. So the book is actually a process to help you learn how to wake up in the process of waking up to yourself. So it's understanding your egoic mind, understanding what your true self is and how to connect back to your true self. And it's also about understanding how our thoughts work and how to utilize our emotions to best serve us. So it's, yes.
Because we are, we come from the oneness and we come down into this duality, and we are every morning we wake up and we can go with the thoughts of our ego or we can go with the thoughts of our true self. It's a battle,
That's right.
isn't it, most of the time? And we're here to bring
Yeah.
wholeness. We're here to bring that into wholeness. We're here to have the middle path, the middle path
That's
of
right.
that. So
Completely.
describe to us what the ego self is, and then please describe to us what the true self is in your terms.
Yeah, no problem. So just part of waking up to yourself, I actually divide into three categories. So I actually
Okay.
talk about the raw self.
Yep.
And the raw self is our innate self. So in a sense, it's like our innate innate personality, our innate temperaments, it's our biological wiring. So that's kind of like what we're born with. Then the egoic self is the conditioning that we receive. So, I'm a good person, I'm a bad person, or I need to be this type of thing. Or it's kind of like how we then learn to navigate the world. And usually that's about avoidance of emotions and chasing emotions. And so they're the tools to function in the world, though, that we develop in that. And the true self is our inner consciousness or our inner awareness. And it's a consciousness, and yes, it's a witness, but it's also a consciousness that has its own infinite intelligence. And that infinite intelligence is flowing through each one of us in its own particular way and motivating us to live from its perspective. And its perspective is not usually, but always one of peace and harmony. So, and that's what it's trying to motivate us towards. And generally, we just live a more joyous, fulfilling life when we do that. Doesn't mean a life of no pain, but just way more fulfilling.
I call that the it's like the human we have our human self here in the, and then we have our divine self, because that
Exactly.
soul is a part of what do you ever want to call it, the God self, the goddess,
That's right.
source, everything. When we came down here, we would come from the oneness, so a little part of that super soul, if you want to say the supreme soul, put that
Yes.
inside of us, which is our soul consciousness, which is the same soul consciousness within all people, is it
Within
not?
everyone, that's right. Yeah, completely. Everyone's the same. I guess I think of it a little bit like we're all connected to the current, but our currents flow a little bit different because that's our journey to live our life in this world. Because we're here as humans as well, not just here as only souls. We're here to live a human journey.
That's right. And I think having that balance between the two, is the middle path. The
Completely.
Buddhists talk about, yeah, that
That's
I
right.
mean,
Yeah.
that's just amazing.
Yeah.
And that's quite
Completely.
that's a lifetime. I mean, even when I believe in reincarnation, but it's we have to go through that many lifetimes. You just don't get it,
No, that's right. Yeah,
it's
it requires a lot
moving,
of
always evolving, aren't we?
yeah, completely. Yeah, we're always growing and evolving, and the, well, life is about evolution. It's so consciousness is growing and learning as we grow and learn too. It's not just set and just stuck. So everything's in a constant flux, in a constant flow of change, and we're part of that.
That's exciting. That's exciting. And how can we individually wake up to who we truly are? Because what you're saying is, wake up to yourself, wake up to your true self in your
Yes, that's
book.
right.
So how
Yes.
give us how could describe how one can do that individually?
Yeah, well, there's a few different things to try. I think the first thing to do would be, if you do, even if you didn't want, meditation would be the first thing I would suggest.
That's I'm big on
So,
that so much.
because meditation really is going within and just noticing what's going on within. And the more you get in the practice of the noticer, the more you're connecting to that observing part of you, that soul part of us. From there, though, I think, it's great to be able to do this on the meditation cushion, but most of our life isn't spent on the meditation cushion. So then the way to connect to our true selves outside of that is to really look for when we're feeling bad is usually a key sign that we're disconnected. And so knowing what our emotions are and knowing when we're feeling them and our beliefs that are attached to that and how they then differ from that of our truth. And so whenever we choose to find a more peaceful path, that is us aligning with our true selves. And but it is a choice. Again, like I said, it's not just about it just happens automatically. And part of it as well is if you practice self-love, that's also I call that the voice of the closest thing to the voice of the true self. So the more we practice self-care, self-forgiveness, self-encouragement, even bravery, self-compassion, self-acceptance, the more we practice those things, the more likely we are connecting to our true self.
That's so true. That's so true.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
And also, connecting and living, our truth. What, how do you express that? Connecting and living it,
That's part of the explanation in waking up to yourself is what I do is I explain that we've got sort of two parts of us fighting for attention. So we've got our egoic part of us that wants to drive us just to feel good. And our true self is trying to drive us to do things that feel most, I call it that feel most right deep down and most aligned deep down. And sometimes what feels aligned deep down is what feels good to the egoic self too, so they actually can match up. But sometimes, so say for me, it might be, even doing an interview right now, a little bit of anxiety that I don't want to be judged. But I know deep down that this feels like the right thing to do. So even though the ego says, don't do it, it's scary, the true self is kind of saying, no, this is what feels good to me, what feels right to me. And the more you can connect to that again and again and again, you'll be able to see the discrepancy between what the ego is saying and what your true self is saying.
That's right. Because we all grow up in this world with social conditioning from our parents, from our teachers, from our religion. It's all social conditioning. And, that's not who we are. That's
No.
not our true self. And, and also I believe from our ancestral lineage, we can take, patterns and, that karma can be brought down onto us. And this is why it's really important to do, shadow work, going into that darkness, looking at it, embracing those parts of ourselves that we never want to acknowledge or show to the
That's right.
outside world, because that's where
Completely.
the light is. That's where if we bring it up to the light, then it disperses, So, and it's really
Completely.
important because we're the zero point. We have to do it for us, and we have to do this inner work so that we don't push it and allow it to go through us onto our future generations.
So that we're kind of the game changers for the future people, and the more we actually do that shadow work, the more we actually do connect to our light, just like you said. And usually I know when I was studying, working through spirituality and studying, is that a lot of it was explaining, being the light, being the light, being the light. And a lot of being the light actually means denying the shadow. So
Yes.
sometimes trying to be a spiritual person is actually the thing that's working against you, because what we're trying to be is a whole person, not just a spiritual person. And that means a whole person with our shadow and light, with our
Yes.
good emotions, unpleasant emotions.
That is so true, Patrick, because we are, the dark and the light. And we have to embrace that darkness because that darkness gives us the power to say no, to have that anger, to set boundaries, to go for what we want. It's all not, this world is not rainbows and, unicorns and all of this
No.
stuff, because this world has got dark evil in this, and we have to release that within us for it to be released in a collective way. For us to move forward for the new earth, because we can't build new earth on this false darkness.
That's right. Yeah, and that's one of the main reasons I actually wrote the book. The initial reason was I actually started writing about the unpleasant emotions, because I work as a spiritual teacher and a psychologist as well. And most of the things I saw were people denying the unpleasant feelings. And even myself, that was part of my journey. And so then I actually just started saying, well, how do these unpleasant feelings actually serve us? How does the shadow actually help me? And so what I've actually written in the book is like all the ways that our shadow emotions actually help us. And knowing how to utilize them to live our truth, because our truth isn't just about let anything happen to me. It doesn't matter what happens. It's kind of about, like I said, it doesn't matter what happens sometimes, but there's a time and place to set a limit, to create a boundary, like you were saying.
You have to take responsibility. You have to take
That's right.
responsibility for your thoughts, feelings, and emotions, and for your actions. It's very important. And in yoga, we try to make them, sacred. Sacred thoughts, feelings, and actions, so they don't cause any more karma. It's so important. But
That's right.
Rumi said about the wounding. We've all been wounded. We've all been wounded. But our wounds are our biggest teachers. Yeah. They
Yeah, that's
truly,
right.
truly are. And Rumi said, the wound is where the light enters.
That's right. That's exactly right. And really the wound creates so many, so let's just say a wounding of being bullied, maybe as an example. Now, being bullied might help me learn how to be really receptive, really perceptive of people. It might help me learn how to kind of read the room a lot better. So the wounding doesn't necessarily create only trauma. The wounding creates lots of tools of function to live our lives. And so it's when we can embrace both, that's where the light shines.
That's so important. It's like you've got to embrace them things that happened. You've got to embrace your younger self who made all the mistakes and, did what they did, because you've got to embrace all the challenges, everything. You've got to bless it and embrace it. And then you can bless the now and bring peace into your life and it bring peace into the world.
That's right. Yeah, and then you're not actually carrying the trauma forward. You're utilizing it for the tools that serve you, and letting go from the traumatic and the holding on to the emotions that really will poison our body if we just keep holding on to them.
That's true, because they come down, and if then it starts in the energy body, doesn't it? And then it manifests into the physical body as an illness or a problem because it's not
That's
being
right.
released.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so that's even just knowing how to feel bad is actually a way of knowing how to release the emotion, because feeling it is releasing it.
That's it. And many people don't release it. They don't feel it because we've been told as a society, you can't cry, you can't feel anger, you can't express love. So all of this, you can't express emotions, get put into the pain body, yeah? And then they get released in some dramatic, crazy thing later on in your life. It causes so much pain. If we can, when it happens, sit in it, say, okay, I'm angry. Because anger is a good, it's a human emotion, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a
Oh,
good
and we
tool.
need that to say no to situations and to people and to unpleasant experiences, It's a very valid emotion. But if we can sit in it, not for too long, but just and then express it, as you said, it doesn't stay within the energy body.
Yeah, that's right. And particularly anger is one that I talk a lot about in Waking Up to Yourself, is that usually anger is a secondary emotion, how I look at it. It is there to protect us, but it's also, I'm only angry because I feel hurt by you. So if I don't process my hurt as well, then I will always keep getting angry. So it's also going deeper than just the anger, saying what's underneath it? What is the anger trying to protect me from? And the more I can sort of sit with the hurt and release it, the less it then triggers moving forward.
And forgiveness is a big one. Forgiveness of not just not others, forgiveness of self.
Self. Yeah, that's probably one
For
of the
all the
most
things
important.
that we thought we did wrong and no.
Yeah, no, big self-forgiveness is probably one of the biggest things. And really our true self doesn't even have the need to forgive us, because it never holds a grudge. But when we do forgive, we are connecting more to that loving, compassionate side of ourselves. Because when we don't forgive, all we do is hold on to hate and anger within, and that only hurts us anyway. So all forgiveness is actually self-forgiveness, because it's about you letting go of the pain you're holding on to.
That's right. It's really not setting the other person free. You're setting yourself free.
Completely. That's why you do it. You don't do it for the other person. You do it for your own sake. They just happen to be a co-benefactor.
Yeah. Our mirror, our
Yeah.
mirror that shows our light. We're all mirrors to each other that show our light and dark aspects because we're
Yeah,
all
that's
one at
right.
the basic level, aren't we?
That's right. And that's why we're in relationship. We're in relationship to discover those selves, because when we do mirror that back, that is the opportunity to say, oh, what's going on with me? Who am I? It really brings you back into yourself, having that mirror. If there's no other, we wouldn't actually be able to self-reflect.
That's right. That's so profound. That really is. Oh, wow. It's amazing. And this is really quite, it's something that's really, that's always touched me. The combining of spirituality and psychology,
Yes.
is so important at this time. And therefore, sorry, is science and spirituality. It's all one thing. Science has got to catch up with spirituality. And I believe that spirituality will overtake organized religion, because spirituality is religion is someone else's experience of you're
Yeah.
reading in a book, you're listening to a priest, but spirituality is having your own soul experience of that divine, of the truth, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us a little bit about how you feel about the spirituality and psychology.
Yeah, well, first thing, when I first started, I worked as a psychologist. I think I've been working as a psychologist since I was 22. So a lot of years, if you didn't know how old I was. But so I did that for a fair while, and then I started martial arts, and in that I started dipping my toe into spirituality and sort of looking at chi energy in particular. And then the deeper I went into spirituality, the more I was kind of saying, well, this actually marries up with psychology, but psychology really never mentions anything about our soul. Psychology sort of just keeps it all about the mind, and psychology is really good, I think, at creating healthier egos. Not
Yes.
necessarily, yeah, which is great though. Like, it's nice to have a healthy ego, but it's not necessarily connecting to our full truth. So
Exactly.
kind of like, I think, does half the job, which is a great job of what it does, and depend on, we're all at different levels. So some people really require that, and that's exactly what they need as part of their journey. But in terms of spirituality, I think that's really about wholeness. And
Yes.
greater a healthy ego is great, but when you're connected to your truth, the healthy ego just naturally follows that. Because an unhealthy ego can't survive in the light.
No, I love that. That's so true. Our ego is a tool that we can use, because we can't get rid of the ego, because we need a
No.
little bit of it to function in this world of
Yeah.
duality. But as long as it doesn't overtake us and we are in control of it, or we're looking as the observer of it and controlling it instead of it controlling us, because the
Yeah.
ego can come up and say, I want this, it's temptation in this Maya matrix that we are in. That's what it is. Consumerism, taking, needing, which is what the ego feeds off of, isn't it?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, completely. The ego just wants, 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 and it's never satisfied, never satiated. So when we're aware of that, then we don't have to buy into its traps, because the ego fears disappearing. That's what it fears. So it's always going to try to find something to keep it going. And the more we really do see that and not have to buy into it, the more it doesn't ever die. We don't want it to die, because we would die if it died. But the more it quietens down, the more it doesn't take over everything.
Lovely. Absolutely brilliant. That's really true. And this is the bit that I want to get onto about psychology, because I feel the logical thinking psychologists need to be more spiritual and use meditation, which is the study and healing of the mind and the soul, to wake up to their truth, and
Yeah.
help heal and wake up their patients, instead of having never-ending 20-year patients that keep coming back, keep coming back. A true healer is one who activates the healer within that person, their true self, so that they can heal themselves, and then maybe has a few sessions and then can use that to heal themselves. They don't have to keep coming back, spending loads of money and never be healed, because it's ridiculous. I don't understand. Why? Well, I do, because it's the agenda, isn't it? To never go deeper into the soul, to just look at the logical left brain psychology way of looking at things. But it's so sad that it's the study of the mind, meditation. If they used that,
Yeah.
it would be so wonderful.
Yeah, I think there's a trend though in psychology now that's actually moving towards that. So, mindfulness is really used a lot in psychology now. And so while I guess in psychology mentioning spirit at the moment, I think, is not something that often happens. It does happen among some people, but overall, like, there is a move towards that, and I think it's going in a good direction. And I guess everyone's different, and everyone starts from a different platform. So, some people might require lots of sessions. And overall, particularly from my angle, what I try to work on is I try to be be kind of the reflection of their own true selves where they can't see it yet. And so I'll keep them honest to how their true self is seeing the situation rather than how their mind or conditioning is seeing it.
Yes.
And really putting the power back into them, not being dependent on me about,
That's right.
you finding your answer, and I'll keep reflecting that back rather than encouraging or dependence. And I
Yes.
think that anything that encourages dependence is really disconnecting from yourself.
Exactly. And you've just hit it right on. That is just such truth because you are facilitating that true self healer within that person.
That's right.
That's what a true healer does. Facilitates, opens up the doorway, gives them a tool, that little bit of therapy opens that up for that true self to come in and start healing the self because no one can heal us. We can
No,
only heal ourselves. We
that's exactly
save
right.
ourselves, we save ourselves, we heal ourselves. So we, but therapists and people could help us and guide us onto the tr onto different tools and the ways of doing it. But in the end, it's an inside job.
Yeah, completely. It's all an inside job, all of it. Yeah, there's no one else doing it for us. Is that like we can point the way, but at the end of the day, we got to walk the walk.
Yeah, that's so true. And so you're talking about the new holistic psychologists.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And I really think there's a trend towards that more and more as the world awakens and as we do want to connect more to ourselves. Like I said, the more suffering we generally tend to feel, the more likely we're going to move towards feeling better because that's our natural state. It's calling us and it's calling us at every given moment, no matter how far we feel we're from it.
That's right. It's so true. It's so true. And you write about being alone, and I believe that being alone is the most wonderful gift to know thyself. Yeah. And so many people, and I've been alone for a long time, but so many people are scared to be alone.
That's right.
So tell us about your thoughts on loneliness and why people are scared to be alone.
Yeah, well, there's an evolutionary part of us that's still within us, and loneliness back in the day, say when we were sort of caveman days, loneliness would mean that I'm separated from my tribe. Separation from my tribe means I'm more close to death. Now I don't have the protection. So our society has evolved way quicker than our minds and our emotions. So when we feel lonely now, we still get that panic because it feels like we're actually close to death from loneliness. So for me in particular, that's great to know that all logically, but then how do I experience the loneliness and how do I actually sit with it without actually being so resistant of it? Because that's what we naturally want to do. For me, I traveled to Japan, a fair few years ago now, I can't quite remember. And when I went there, I traveled on my own, and I that was probably one of the first time I went to a country that I didn't speak the language. So I was feeling very isolated, very lonely. And so I did all the sightseeing and I just sort of trudged through, but internally I was resisting every bit of it. And probably like a week and a half in, I was in complete turmoil about it, and that was enough to finally get me to say, all right, just stop, surrender. And the moment I surrendered to it, that's actually just when it released. And it actually, ever since then, I've never actually been plagued or troubled by loneliness. It was kind of like that was the final breaking point for me on that time.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful because, that's loneliness. I believe that when you've got, I go within and I meditate with the divine love light energy. And when I'm never alone because I have that, which fills me up. And it's just so powerful, and I know that that is my higher self, which is part of God, part of Goddess. It's just beautiful. You're never alone when you
That's
connect
right. No, you
to divine
can't be
love.
alone because you've always got your divine love. You've always got your true self there. You've always got that. And that's where being alone, which is different to loneliness, is actually the opportunity to connect to that. Because, we're very physical and material in our world. So we're always about tangible things and, spirit's not tangible. So that's really an opportunity to connect to that spiritual part of ourselves.
Wow, that's so true. And it's so true about you saying about the tribe, because I believe this great awakening we are going through is going to take many years, but we're going to go back to living at one with nature. We might have high tech, but we'll be one more with the Mother Earth, living more at oneness with nature and simplifying our lives and coming back to living community and tribal community again, like we did in the ancient times, because two people living in a tiny box, or one person living in a tiny box is just so That's true. That's horrible for us. We are such loving, this energy is unity consciousness that we're moving into, love awareness that we're moving into. And it's with our brothers and sisters. We need that tribal, that community. That's it's
Yeah, we
so,
are social creatures.
yeah.
Yeah, so we are social creatures, and we are going to, I think, move towards more connection and move towards more unity and really peace within the world. And if that's peace between us, yes, it's also peace with the environment we live in, rather than at war with it or sort of oh, I lost the word here.
Resisting it,
Overusing
resisting
it,
it.
yeah, resisting it, overusing it.
Yeah.
So overall, we really want to be able to find what's sustainable for our world. There's a lot of us, we know that already internally. So we've got that natural pull towards that. We've got that natural pull towards peace. So that's the only way it can go. And some people might go further, so we've got that choice. But the types of people will be more polarized, but peace will always win out in the end, because that feels way better, and we want to feel better as people.
Exactly. And that is our innate truth. Earth peace through self peace. Yeah. We do it within
Yeah.
ourself and then it goes zoom and it goes out and we
That's
lead by
exactly right.
example. And others start having the peace and they turn their light
That's
on
right.
and everything. Because
Completely, yeah.
peace is our truth. We are kind, compassionate, spiritual with spiritual value. We are kind, compassionate, truthful people. This is who we are. And the truth will set you free, will it not?
Completely, the truth will set you free. That is your freedom. Living your truth is your freedom. And the only thing that keeps us trapped really is our mind. Our ego is the thing that actually keeps us trapped. And because the ego is all about feeling good and avoiding feeling bad or feeling familiar or safe. And that's not always what our truth wants. It does sometimes, but not only that.
Yeah. And that is so true because it's our truth is just, once we sit in that and once we embrace our darkness and our light, within, we know our truth and we can speak our truth because I
Yeah.
believe that, whatever you want to call it, the agenda, the dark agenda that's been in this world, has been telling us that we are sinners. Telling us that we are unworthy, not telling us that we have that God flame within, that we have that divinity within, and suppressing that so much that it's so difficult for us to get out of this feeling of unworthiness and we're not good enough, and which is what is happening now, the Great Awakening. Every one of us will have to go through the dark night of the soul.
That's
And that
right.
dark of night of the soul is a burning away. It's like going into that darkness, isn't it? Burning away all those things that weren't love to
Yeah.
make us and that unworthiness to realize that we are love and we are worthy.
Completely, we are worthy. And really, in the terms of that agenda or the dark agenda, I guess that there's a use to it to some degree, particularly if we are disconnected from our truth. Having some parameters of good can be useful. But no one can actually, there's no one universal parameter that anyone can give that helps you live your universal truth. So, while parameters are useful, it's also useful to know how to drop them, so you can, it's like saying I can drive freely, or I can be stuck on a railway track. A railway track will get you somewhere, but driving freely is going to get you more aligned with what's right for you.
Yeah, that's right. And that's all about trusting your truth. I think trusting your truth is a big one, because,
Completely.
and that is trusting your intuition. That's why going within and knowing thyself is so important. You can't get it out there in the 3D. No money, no sex, no food, no nothing can give that to you. You can only
No.
be filled up with that by going within and connecting with your higher self and that peace and that divine love light
Yeah.
energy within. Then you start activating your divine intuition, which is
That's
truth,
right.
which is your truth,
Yeah.
which is, and then you start quietening your mind, and you can, and then the higher consciousness can come in, yeah,
That's
and
right.
give you all of that truth. Because if your
Because it's
mind
already
monkey
there.
mind, you cannot receive that.
That's right. That's completely true. Yeah. And even for me, practicing my like connecting to my intuition, I just started it with things like just driving. Which way do I feel like driving today? Often we want to get our intuition. We want to start with the most difficult thing we have to face and find our intuition when we've got so much turmoil about that. It's grow that ability, grow that connection to yourself, and just doing it with little things. What do I feel like eating? Where do I feel like going today? Which way is the best way to work today? Do I turn left or right here? Which one feels best to me? And because it's always there, like our truth is always feeding it down to us. It's about getting our mind and our conditioning out of the way to be able to listen and you're right, trust completely. And that's what self-trust is. Self-trust is really a part of loving yourself.
Yeah, that is so true. And that's you know, that building of the intuition is really, really, because you know, we have so much, you know, bombardment from internet, from you know, the 3D, from everything out there. It's bombarding, negative, the news. I mean, it's just, you know, I don't watch it ever again, but it's just all that, isn't it? It's just bombardment of that negativity. And you've got to be discerning about what you put yourself, you know, your mind into. So be discerning and build on your intuition. Is this good for me? My intuition, no, that's not good for you. It's not correct. It's not right. No. It's just false. You know, it's fear. You know, it's
That's
fear
right.
mongering. So building that intuition is really important. And then we can also bring that out to the people in our lives. Are they good for us? Are they enhancing us together? Are we enhancing each other together? You know, am I setting these boundaries? It's so important. So building that intuition, it's like a muscle. You have to build it.
Completely
You have to
that.
work it.
You definitely have to build it. And the more you build it, you'll just find you naturally live your truth more. And you'll find that people that match you are just going to stay around and you'll just naturally feel that you'll drift away from those that don't match you. And if they do come into your life, then there's something that you are matching to them. And that's an opportunity again for us to look at ourselves again. And look at that, we probably aren't listening to our intuition there. We're listening to, oh, I just want to feel liked. So that's why I'm doing it, even though my intuition is saying maybe they're not healthy for me. So understanding like what emotions we crave and our habits there really does help us then help follow our intuition.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. That's intuition is one of the most important things. Intuition is our higher self. You know, it's the
Yeah,
divine
completely.
intelligence. Yeah,
Yeah,
because I
that's
believe
right.
as a yogini that 90% of us is always in the spiritual realm. Yeah,
Yeah, we're
we've
just a
only got
little
10%
drop
of it.
over here.
Yeah, we've only got a tiny little 10% in this non-reality place, school of life, university that is here to learn about all of this. So, you know, that's why we've got to have an open channel, pure channel to receive, isn't it?
And it's there all the time, and that's about, you know, finding how we get out, how do we get in our way, but then also that helps us find the way out. And the more we can do that, but the more we do connect to that intuition. And a lot of times we want to feel like we want answers in our head, like, well, I just want to know what the right thing is. And we often don't trust our feelings enough. We trust our emotions, but not necessarily our gut feelings, because we've been taught that they're not logical. They might seem ridiculous or stupid, sort of.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
That's right. It's like going to the gym and just working one arm your whole life. You know, the other arm's going to be atrophied. It's not going to be balanced. And we don't just then swap and say, I'm only going to work the other arm and stop that arm. No, it's about equally working the arm so they work in unison together and so equal strength.
Yes, exactly. And equal strength. You know, women need that logical, you know, assertive, you know, protecting, or you know, aspects of the male. And the men, they need that loving, compassionate collaboration, you know,
Yeah,
of the female. It's
nurturing.
so important to have that. That's, you know, is really, and to be in touch with our emotions is very important as well, and to really.
Completely. Well, I know me, like I wrote the book, obviously, but I lived the book because for me growing up, I really wasn't in touch with my emotions. Even working initially as a psychologist, I wasn't in touch with my emotions. It was all logical or logical. So really, the more I got in touch with my emotions, that's really what helped me live my truth. It was like the alarm, all right, whenever I felt bad, all right, what's going on here? What am I believing separate to my truth? So the emotions are really the key to self-inquiry, self-discovery. And
And
they're
then,
always there. People feel like they don't have them, but they're there. Like even numbness is an emotion. So if that's the one you're on, work with that.
that's it. And then from there, because we have that soul consciousness within, which is a part of God, Goddess within, which is we are made in the image of God, the Creator. We, with our feelings and our thoughts, create our reality. Yeah, we create our lives. We create the world timeline together. We don't realize that we do this. We don't realize our power. We are,
That's right, yeah.
we don't realize the power that we have.
That's right. And most of the time, most of us are unconsciously creating. We don't realize that that's what we're doing. We think life's just happening to us where, our thinking patterns are actually creating what we're experiencing. And so we're moving into a place where, particularly connecting to your true self, that's where you actually can then go into consciously creating. And you're creating it from a place of truth, not just from a place of ego then as well. And that generally is going to, like, when you're creating from a place of truth, that can only lead to good things. Like there's nothing else can come from that.
You are exactly right there. And that place of truth is the heart truth, is it not? You're always, whenever anything is done from truth and from the heart, it's always going to be good. And it's always going to be for the benefit of all. So, mote it be.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and we think that, oh, someone's going to be upset by that, but maybe they need that to wake into their truth. So don't limit it in our minds to kind of think, oh, it looks bad on the outside, but there's probably a lot more deeper meaning that's going on that's serving them and the rest of humanity just from you living your truth.
Exactly.
Because
And
really,
you
when
know,
you're living your truth,
yeah.
sorry, yeah. So when you're
No,
living your
go on.
truth, you're contributing to humanity. So
Yeah.
you're making humanity a better place because you're actually better in humanity.
That's it. That is so true. And sometimes, you know, people might not like, people don't like the truth. This is
Yeah,
a
a lot
big one,
don't.
right? This is a real big one, right? And I'm a truth talker. Yeah. And I'm like that with my friends, my family, my children, everyone. But I'm sorry. It's the way that so many people are yes people. Oh, yes. That, you know, you look wonderful. Yes. No, you don't. This is wrong. Say the truth because the truth will not only set you free, it will set them free. Sometimes these truths are hard and they go straight into the heart, but they might not listen to it, but it goes into the heart and it plants a little seed that will grow. And eventually it will help them realize their truth, you know, because that's all it is.
Completely.
Everything is self-created. And if you're not living your truth, then you're on the wrong path. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
And
right.
in this energy, which is coming into divine feminine, and it's a beautiful energy of balance and great awakening. I believe anything that's not done in love will just get passed away and be dissolved because it has to be truthful and done in love now, because this is a crucial time.
That's right. And even speaking your truth, speaking your truth in a hateful way or a loving way is the way of the true self. So some people mistake it. I'm speaking my truth. So I'm going to tell you every conditional opinion I have of you. And so there's also speaking in a loving, compassionate truth. And that's the true truth. So, and the more
Exactly.
we do that, anything outside of that will fall away, like you said.
Exactly. And when you speak to it from your heart, it can be uncomfortable, right? It can be really, really uncomfortable. But as long as it comes from the heart, then it's
That's
truth.
right. That's right. Yeah, and that usually takes a bravery that's required in life as well. That, we have a lot of fears, and to really connect and live from our truth, it usually requires, yes, I'm scared, but I'm willing to do this anyway. And yes, I'm gonna follow this because this is what feels right to me or feels the deepest, most truth to me to do.
Beautiful. Wow. And please, Patrick, for these last minutes, please give our audience some guidance on waking up to themselves and what they can do, some things that they can do every day to facilitate that.
Yeah, so I'd probably say one of the first things we'll do would be to meditate, going back to that again. So meditating and just sitting in quiet contemplation and seeing what comes up. You don't necessarily, a lot of people get confused with meditating because they think, oh, I can't focus, I don't have the attention. That's not really important. Just sitting in stillness will bring stuff up that's probably worth dealing with. That's probably one of the things. The other thing I'd say just would be, like we mentioned, is the intuition. So really connecting to that and asking at any given moment when there's a decision. What feels like the truest decision here? And it's okay to get it wrong. It's okay to say it felt true, but it wasn't so good for me. That's okay. You learn from making the mistakes as well.
And Patrick, where can we read your amazing book? Because I know that inside of it there's lots of tools and
Lots
practices.
of tools in it. Yes, lots of tools, lots of self-love tools, lots of connecting to self tools, lots of meditation techniques, and a lot of information about how our mind works and what emotions are and why we have them. So, and then knowing how to put that all together. So the book's coming out on the 1st of July. It's available on Amazon and all major bookstores. So it's I'm really, really excited. My first book, so I'm super
Brilliant.
excited.
Well
But
done. And we can,
yeah,
but they can
thank
pre-book
you.
it now with the link
Yeah,
I
they can
can.
pre-order now. Yes, you can pre-order now on Amazon. It's also Barnes and Noble. You can pre-order.
Yep.
It's available now, and yeah, I'm really excited for people to see it because really for me, it's really something from my heart and something that I've lived myself, and I know it's helped me so much, and it's helped people that I've seen, and I really feel like it can help a lot of people just create that awareness and living the truth because you know, who doesn't want to be at peace?
Exactly. And this is the time to wake up to yourself.
This is definitely time. Wake up to yourself, all of
Absolutely brilliant. Patrick,
Yeah.
thank you for all your wise wisdom and helping us understand, what waking up means. And thank you for being on the Great Awakening Show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Doreen. It's been great coming here and really appreciate all the work you do as well. It's wonderful.
Yeah.